It's a bit of a somber day as we kind of dive into the legacy of former President Jimmy Carter, who passed away today at the incredible age of 100. While we mourn his loss, there's so much to celebrate about his life, especially his contributions to environmental conservation, which are often overlooked.
Absolutely. And really remarkable how that passion for the environment was kind of woven into his life from his childhood,
Oh, I bet.
all the way to his impactful policies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who could imagine a presidential pet alligator today? But
Wow.
for young Jimmy Carter in Plains, Georgia, that was just part of life.
Yeah.
You know, he was known for his ability to identify every single bird in town. It
Wow.
really showed a deep connection with nature.
And that really did inform his whole worldview. And it's so fascinating to see that boy from Plains, who knew the natural world so intimately, grow up and champion conservation on this global scale.
And nowhere was that more evident than in his fierce dedication to protecting Alaska's wilderness. He actually had a map of Alaska hanging in the Oval Office, just a constant reminder of his commitment to preserving that vast landscape.
Yeah, that map wasn't just symbolic, though. In 1978, he used the Antiquities Act to protect 56 million acres of Alaskan land. And that move drew some sharp criticism, but it really solidified his place among these other conservation giants like Theodore Roosevelt.
He didn't stop there, though. In 1980, he signed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, ANLCA for short, which protected over 100 million acres, effectively doubling the size of the national park system.
Wow.
And get this, the impact of that act is still felt today.
It is absolutely just last year, Carter filed a legal brief against a proposed road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge, which is a site protected by NLNCA, and he saw it as just this threat to the very ecosystem he fought so hard to protect.
You know, it's incredible how decades later his commitment remains so strong, but it's also kind of ironic, isn't it? This attempt to safeguard the refuge led to criticism from Alaskan Senator Lisa Murkowski, who argued that Carter was out of touch with the needs of the local community.
Yeah, it highlights the challenges inherent in these conservation efforts, right? The balance between preserving these natural landscapes and addressing the needs of people who live there.
Right.
These are still challenges that we grapple with today.
Yeah. Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Carter's approach to energy conservation. Picture this: 1977, the U.S. is facing energy shortages, and President Carter, wearing a cardigan sweater, is urging Americans to turn down their thermostats.
Ah, yes, the famous sweater speech.
Right.
It became the symbol of his presidency, kind of ridiculed by some, but it was a testament to his commitment to energy efficiency. And I think it's important to remember the context here.
Yeah.
The US was heavily reliant on foreign oil, so the call for conservation wasn't coming from nowhere.
Right, and he wasn't just talking the talk. He sold the presidential yacht, unplugged the White House TVs, you name it.
Yeah.
He even inadvertently sparked a cardigan sweater fashion trend.
Oh, wow, that's great.
But of course, his energy legacy is far more complex than just sweaters and thermostats. On the one hand, you have him installing solar panels on the White House, advocating for a 20% renewable energy mix by the year 2000, and creating the Department of Energy. So he had this incredible vision for a sustainable future.
He did.
But on the other hand, he also promoted domestic coal production, which was a pragmatic decision driven by the desire for energy independence at a time when the U.S. was feeling vulnerable. But it also had these unintended consequences that are contributing to the very climate challenges that we're facing today.
Yeah.
It's almost a cautionary tale, isn't it? Economist Philip Verledger, who worked in the Carter administration, estimated that his coal policies actually resulted in 5 more years' worth of CO2 emissions at 2000 levels.
It is a reminder that even well-intentioned actions can have these ripple effects that go way beyond their initial scope. Progress is not always linear, and it's important to examine these historical decisions with a critical eye.
So you see this mix of progressive vision and pragmatic decision-making in his energy policy, but when you look at the arc of his life, you see this unwavering commitment to renewable energy that really shines through.
You see it in 2017 when he leased land in his hometown of Plains for a solar power project, which now provides half of the town's electricity.
That's amazing.
It's this beautiful full circle moment that really speaks volumes about his enduring belief in a sustainable future.
He even said at the dedication event, "This site will be as symbolically important as the 32 panels that we put on the White House."
Wow.
He clearly understood the power of symbolism and
Clear.
leading by example.
It's incredibly powerful, and it leads us to another fascinating chapter in his environmental legacy. his work on the international stage, it's interesting to think about how Carter's presidency really coincided with this growing global awareness of environmental issues.
Yeah.
You know, the 1970s saw the emergence of international agreements on things like pollution, endangered species, and even the very early stages of climate change discussions.
It seems like he had this understanding that environmental challenges transcended borders, you know, that we're all kind of connected in this web of life. How did that translate into action on the world stage?
Well, one of the most significant examples is his involvement with the United Nations Environment Program, UNEP for short.
Right.
It was established in 1972 and became this focal point for global environmental diplomacy. And Carter was a strong supporter of their mission throughout his presidency.
So he wasn't just focused on domestic issues. He was looking to collaborate with the international community to find solutions. Were there any specific achievements we can point to in that realm?
Well, he played a key role in the negotiation of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Flora and Fauna, also known as CITES.
Okay.
This landmark treaty was signed in 1973 and went into effect in 1975, and it aimed to regulate the international trade of endangered plants and animals to prevent their extinction.
I'm familiar with CITES. It's still a cornerstone of global conservation efforts today. It's remarkable to think that Carter had a hand in its creation, demonstrating his commitment to protecting biodiversity on a global scale. What other international initiatives did he champion?
Well, he was also a vocal advocate for addressing what was called transboundary pollution, particularly acid rain, which was a major environmental concern in the late 1970s.
Right.
Acid rain, which was caused by sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide emissions from industrial activities, was damaging forests and waterways across North America and Europe.
That's a perfect example of how these problems don't respect political boundaries. What steps did Carter take to address that particular issue?
Well, he worked with Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau to establish a joint commission to study the problem and come up with solutions.
Okay.
And this collaboration ultimately led to the signing of the Canada-United States Air Quality Agreement in 1980, which was a precursor to later international agreements on acid rain.
So he was forging these partnerships, recognizing that cooperation was key to tackling these environmental challenges that extended beyond any single nation's borders. He was really emphasizing that we're all in this together, wasn't he?
He was. And that message resonates even more strongly today as we face the global threat of climate change. While his presidency predated the widespread recognition of climate change as the existential threat it is today, his actions laid some of the groundwork for future international climate action.
It's fascinating to think about that.
Yeah.
How did his early focus on energy conservation and renewable energy tie into that emerging climate change discourse?
Well, while climate change wasn't explicitly on the agenda at that time, his push for energy efficiency and the development of alternative energy sources can be seen as early steps toward reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
So in a way, he was ahead of his time, advocating for solutions that would later become central to addressing climate change. It's almost as if he had this intuitive understanding of the interconnectedness of energy and the environment and global well-being.
He did. And that was reflected in his creation of the Department of Energy, which, while initially focused on energy independence, has evolved to play a crucial role in climate science and the development of clean energy technologies.
It's remarkable how some of these initiatives launched decades ago continue to shape our approach to environmental challenges today. His legacy really extends far beyond that single term in office.
It does. And his international efforts, particularly his focus on collaborative solutions and his early recognition of the interconnectedness of environmental issues, offer valuable lessons for us as we navigate an increasingly complex and interconnected world.
It's also worth noting that his environmental legacy wasn't without its complexities. We discussed his support for domestic coal production earlier, a decision driven by the energy realities of the time, but one that had lasting environmental consequences.
Yeah, that's an important point. It highlights the challenge of balancing competing priorities and making tough choices in the face of uncertainty. It also underscores the need for constant reevaluation and adaptation as our understanding of environmental issues evolves.
Speaking of adaptation, his decision to install those solar panels on the White House, while symbolic, was also a bold statement about the potential of renewable energy. And even though they were later removed, those panels left an indelible mark on history.
They did. That gesture captured the imagination of people worldwide. It signaled a willingness to embrace new technologies and envision a different energy future. And in a way, it foreshadowed the resurgence of solar power that we're seeing today.
It's like planting a seed back then that took root and flourished decades later. It speaks to the long-term impact of visionary leadership and the power of ideas to transcend time.
And speaking of visionary leadership, we can't overlook Carter's post-presidency work through the Carter Center, where he continued to champion environmental causes, along with promoting peace and human rights on a global scale.
Right. His commitment to making a difference didn't end when he left office. It became a defining characteristic of his life. So let's delve into that final chapter of his story in part three of our deep dive.
You know, it's truly inspiring how President Carter's dedication to service went far beyond his time in the White House. He and Rosalind really embarked on this remarkable journey with the Carter Center tackling some of the world's toughest challenges.
Yeah, and what's fascinating is how they approached these issues with this blend of diplomacy, compassion, and this very practical get-things-done attitude. You know, it's not just about talking. They were deeply involved in some incredible initiatives on the ground.
Yeah, their work on global health immediately comes to mind. You know, they were instrumental in the fight against guinea worm disease, a parasitic infection that once affected millions across Africa and Asia.
Absolutely. They helped to dramatically reduce the number of cases through education, community-based interventions, just relentless dedication to eradicating this disease. They brought it down from millions of cases in the 1980s to just a handful in recent years. That is an incredible achievement, and it shows that even the most challenging problems can be tackled with focused effort and collaboration.
Right.
What else?
And their work goes beyond disease eradication, too. The Carter Center has also been active in promoting democracy and human rights, working on conflict resolution, and supporting agricultural development in some of the most difficult regions around the world.
It's like they were drawn to these complex, interconnected issues, where there's no easy fix, but where their unique approach could really make a difference.
You hit the nail on the head. They saw that interconnectedness, you know, understanding that promoting peace and human rights could create this more stable foundation for addressing environmental challenges and vice versa.
It all comes back to that holistic approach that President Carter embodied, understanding that we can't separate environmental issues from social justice, economic development, you know, global peace.
And that perspective is even more relevant today as we face these interconnected challenges of climate change, poverty, conflict migration.
Mm-hmm. President Carter has been a strong voice for that kind of integrated thinking, reminding us that the challenges are complex, but that shouldn't make us give up. We need to be more creative, more collaborative, and never stop looking for solutions.
And he's a powerful example of how leadership extends beyond political office. You know, it can take many forms, from grassroots activism to philanthropy to just living a life guided by compassion and a commitment to making the world a better place.
So as we reflect on President Carter's life and legacy, what stands out is his spirit of service and unwavering belief in the power of collective action. And he showed us that even when facing these seemingly insurmountable challenges, there's always hope, there's always a way forward if we're willing to work together and never give up on building a more just and sustainable world.
That's a beautiful way to sum it up. And perhaps the best way we can honor him is to carry forward that legacy of service, embrace his holistic vision, and never lose sight of the interconnectedness of our world and our shared responsibility for its well-being.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Jimmy Carter's life and legacy, we are left with a sense of gratitude for his contributions and a renewed sense of purpose. He showed us what's possible when we combine vision, compassion, and a tireless dedication to service. What a legacy.